How to Be Happy Podcast, episode number 5, JaredAkers.com. Welcome to the How to Be Happy Podcast with Jared and Emily Akers, where we talk about life, love, happiness, respect for yourself and your partners in life. So open your hearts and your minds and get ready to be honest, be loved, and be happy. Welcome, everybody, to the How to Be Happy Podcast with Jared and Emily Akers. I'm Jared Akers.
I'm Emily.
Hey, this is podcast episode number 5, and so, I don't know, we're chugging along here. So
We're getting kind of where we're feeling a little more at home.
Feeling our groove, our mojo, maybe? Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
I tried to actually sit here for a little bit before we started this time, because I realized last time that when I sit down here, I'm like, I just came up the stairs or something, and so I'm like
out of breath.
Breathing heavy. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I think today our topic is going to be managing expectations. This is a big one for me because, I don't know, there's just a lot to it. And I mean, I don't know, we'll get into that. But for me, I think a lot of everything that we talk about comes back to being happy with who you are as a person. I mean, I know that that's kind of the gist of everything, but
happy with who you are and willing to accept life on life's terms.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As they say, wear life like a loose garment.
I like that.
Yeah. I like that a lot as mm-hmm. well. We were talking about, well, there's a couple of sayings that, you know, we always say, or we hear that, you know, expectations are resentments and training is one.
Yeah, I like that.
And today's expectations are tomorrow's resentments.
Yeah, it's just more things to worry about.
So when you think of expectations, what comes to your head? Do you have expectations on what that should mean?
I probably used to, but I don't think that I do anymore.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So, well, in all the buzz, I don't know, there's always buzzwords and, you know, the key to happiness and all this stuff is managing expectations. And my big thing was, all along was, well, gee whiz, I know that's important, but how exactly do I manage expectations? Because I just don't wake up one day and intuitively know how to manage my expectations of myself or others. Or maybe I didn't really even know what that meant.
I think that when I'm feeling uncomfortable about something and I think about it, I give it some attention, I realize that I did have an expectation and I just let it go. It's that simple.
So the awareness that you have that expectation is important.
It's going to creep back in. It's the way we've thought our whole lives up until the time when we decided to take control of the journey.
Well, maybe. So do you think it's something that is instilled in us like early on in our lives, like, you know, like when we're growing up, we're expected to act a certain way, or, you know, success is supposed to be, I don't know, defined a certain way or something like that, or, you know, she's taking out her.
I'm wearing these bleaching strips.
You know those bleaching strips?
I can't really talk, so I'm trying to take them off so I can talk better. I think that when we're growing up, of course, our parents have expectations of everything that we do. You know, you learn to walk, you learn to be potty trained, you're learning to speak, you're going to school, your teachers have expectations. You know, it's a natural progression of our childhood. You know, it's just something that we've come to understand.
Well, one of the things that
people do have expectations of us. And so then we learn to have those for ourselves and for other people.
Well, you know that show, one of the things, we would watch that show, Intervention, on A&E. And it's common on there to hear people say, or parents say, or even in any other situation, they would say, oh, you know, they had so much potential, or
yeah,
or this and that. And that always bugs me, because I don't know why it sticks in my craw so much, but it kind of seems like, well, my love for you,
it's dependent on how well you live up to my expectation.
It's conditional,
of what,
you
yeah,
know.
Right.
Oh, he had so much, you know, potential,
right?
And I know that that's not what they mean.
What a shame.
Yeah, but I know that that's probably not what they mean. You know, I just...
Well, it's the way that they were taught.
So I tread cautiously, I think, when I try to think of someone or even myself having potential. I mean, I expect a lot from myself, and you know, but I try not to put too much pressure on myself, because when I quit trying to live up to all of these things that I thought I was supposed to be, that the world, you know, that I show the world on the outside what I thought right. they wanted to see, but I didn't feel like I was that person on the inside, and so I was kind of conflicted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it's so freeing to just allow people to be who they are and accept them for how they are and not what you wish they were, if that makes sense.
Well, that's still...
It's an easier way to
is an indication that you're looking for them to make you happy.
Yeah.
Because you're good expecting point. Them to act a certain way. And if and when they do, then everything will be fine and I'll be happy. And it'll be,
yeah.
You know.
There's strings attached.
And then, but then there's going to be something else. You right. know, then it's going to mm-hmm. be the next thing. Because I've certainly been in relationships like that where, you know, one of the other persons or people or those involved felt like they were responsible for whether or not the relationship was going well or whether it was going bad or,
yeah.
you know. And it's a lot of pressure to put on somebody.
Really?
And well, yourself.
And the message is you're not okay until you, you know, do this.
Right.
To me, you know, and I don't know. It's easy for me not to be that way. It would be harder for me to put expectations on you, probably because I figured out that it doesn't feel good
yeah.
in the long run. It's not effective.
Well, and one of the things I have down here in our notes is expectations for self. And I think that I was commenting on a blog post recently somewhere. I can't remember where it was now, but it was something to do with either I had made a comment or somebody had said something about expectations. And maybe it was like, you know, lower your standards and lower your expectations to be happy. And the conversation was kind of going towards, you know, someone had mentioned, well, you know, shouldn't we expect great things? And if we're lowering our standards then, or are we settling for less? And
well, I think you're confusing goals with expectations. You can have yeah. goals without an expectation of, you know, I mean, you can strive for something and then be okay with where you get with it. You know, it's not always going to be how you set out for it to be.
Right.
So I think it's maybe goals are okay.
Yeah. Well, I agree. And I set goals for myself.
But not deciding how that's going to work out. You know, we don't know.
Yeah. And I think my point or my response to that was exactly what it was that, yeah, I think it's good to have goals and have high standards and things like that. But for me personally, I then try to avoid attaching my happiness to the outcome of
right,
those.
Right.
You know, like
one of my biggest goals, I'd like to point out, you know, just share with everybody that one of my goals is to win the lottery.
Yeah.
And every week I buy a ticket and I go online and check my numbers. And when I don't win, I realize it's not time for me to win.
Right.
I don't feel disappointed. I just know, oh, okay, it's not my time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and somebody's got to win.
Sometimes right? I get one number. In fact, the other day I won $4.
Awesome.
Yeah. So I got two more tickets.
Well, and I think that, you know, I've always thought, well, because you read all these stories about people that win the, you know, and then it ruins their lives. And
right.
And I think, well, we're ready and we're yeah. going to win because it's I don't really think it would life. Change my life that much. Well, I mean, I would.
Maybe it's good if we won that.
There's not anything that I want, you know, materialistically. I would like just to have more time
yeah.
to do more of this kind of stuff, you know. Right. And writing and stuff like that and, right. and helping others and being of service. And
it would buy you the freedom to do the things that you love.
Yeah, to help others. And
that said, I think you love doing what you're doing with your work.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I know that I do. It would be nicer to know that I didn't have to do it every day.
Yeah.
Maybe.
You know, one of my big things
maybe
is...
Maybe once a week.
Is not having nice. To get up at a certain time. I
yeah.
would like that.
Yeah.
Even though
I've been lucky that way.
I'm the... Always the first one in the office, and
yeah,
I get
are.
Up at 5 every day.
Yep, you do. You really do. I'm really proud of you. You weren't that way in the beginning, so you've evolved.
But man, Saturday morning, I love it. We get up, have a cup of coffee, and then yeah. I go back to bed, yeah. and it's just like, and then I had 10 days off there over the holiday, and I was writing, finishing up my book, and was trying to get a feel for what it would be like if I
had that work out for you.
I liked it.
Yeah. You know? It was nice having you around.
Yeah, I'd have to make sure I take a shower. And
got to come home and have lunch with you. And
yeah.
Yeah.
That was fun.
It was fun.
So,
something to look forward to.
Yeah.
Without an expectation, of course.
Exactly. Expecting it to be a certain
I like it the way it is. I think that's the key.
Yeah.
You know, liking the way that things are. You know, why would I need to have an expectation of something else if I like the way today is?
Exactly. My point always is, if you're putting all these expectations on things, you're limiting the possibilities.
Well, you're spending brain power on the what ifs and the tomorrows.
Yeah, break it down to the simplest thing.
I'd be happier if I could lose. You know, if I were 20 pounds lighter, I would be happy. Well, you know what? I'm me now. And I love me now.
Yeah.
I would like to be 20 pounds lighter, but I don't not love myself because of that.
Well, in the most logical sense, right.
Just for an example.
You're trying to predict the future, and that's impossible.
Right. I don't want to give up today for what I might have tomorrow.
Well,
we went on
our last vacation. I don't know if we shared this yet or not. I know I wrote about it somewhere about... We got into this room and we went to Belize and we'd always wanted to go there. And it's, you know, we've been all over the Caribbean but for some reason, this was one of the last, last places, but it was way down our list, but it was one of the first places we wanted to go to.
Yeah, it was the first.
Maybe it was an expectation. We thought, we think it's going to be this, so we'll save it for, I don't know. But so I had kind of done some research and I found this great condo, you know, rental right on the beach. And, you know, and I always... You know, I find out kind of a place to stay, and then I go to TripAdvisor and I look at the actual photos that people take and post, and read all the, you know, reviews and everything. And so I thought, okay, this place sounds pretty good, you know, and we like to dive, and there's good diving right there. And so, but one of the only reviews that I noticed that was kind of negative was, you know, saying, well, you really don't want to be on the ground level because you're right on the beach. And, you know, locals are walking by and stuff all the time. And there was, you know, some people were concerned about security, but... So I kind of requested a second floor room, and then when we get there, and of course we get put on the ground level. So like the first 20 or 30 minutes, I'm like, really stressed out.
And I didn't realize it at the time because I was so excited. I thought the room was beautiful and perfect and walked right out, you know, and I just couldn't imagine what was going on with you. So I guess I just really didn't pay a whole lot of attention to it. But then when I realized you were really uncomfortable, I thought, okay, well, let's go and see if they have something else.
Well, and you told me to just, I mean, you reminded me that I was, that expectation of what I expected it to be like was kind of robbing me of the situation, you know, the moment.
I've done that on trips I had done that for many years. And I just was setting myself up. I mean, you're in a foreign country. You're in a third world country. You know, where
is it?
They're...
Third world?
Yeah. Belize, Mexico, Central America.
Oh.
I think so.
I don't know.
What is third world? There's only one that I know of, but anyway, I've heard the term. Well,
I think it's an economical...
Well, they're
GDP kind of thing or something. I'm sure someone out there knows. So.
It's third world.
Okay, so...
So basically, you've got a very poor community, and then... This condo was amazing for being in a very poor community. I thought it was beautiful. We had plenty of room. We had air conditioning. And
I don't know if I'd call it poor, though. Oh, I mean.
Obviously, the people that own condos down there and the hotels are very nice and lush. But the general population are living in poverty. You know, a lot of the homes that, remember we were walking around in the town and people had just like a, not even a door, just kind of like a curtain.
Yeah, but you don't need a door in the Caribbean. I mean,
well,
come on.
I want a door.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been around the Caribbean, and it's like that a lot of places, you know, because there's more history there, too, I think, in a lot of places like that and stuff, too, but I don't know.
I think the neat thing, go ahead with your story, because I kind of know how it ends, so I'm curious to see how you...
Well, the whole thing was is that finally I got over it and I kind of sat there and meditated and thought about it for a while. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. I'm letting this kind of rob me of this great opportunity. And if I stew on this, it's going to steal some time away from this.
Yeah.
From this. And then what happened was we ended up staying there and it was the best thing I could have ever imagined because we're right there.
It was perfect.
And we're right on the, you know, literally this was like out of all the places we walked up down the beach, this one was closest property to the beach. And so we got to meet all these nice people walking by, and we got these opportunities that had we been on like the second or third floor, we wouldn't have had those opportunities to meet these people and get to know people. And we just loved the people there.
Yeah.
And the whole thing was so great. So, you know, that's, I think, one of the biggest lessons, you know, in all the thing about expectations is just to, you know, the first thing is be aware, you know, have the awareness that you're doing that.
And also acceptance plays a big part in that as well.
Yeah.
You know, accepting the way that things are and letting go of what you had wanted them to be.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty cool. Kind of like, you know, when the people would come up and want to sell us things.
Yeah.
There's a part of me that wanted to feel like, oh my gosh, here we go again. But then, you know, I would turn it around and see that this is a person that's making a living. This is how they're feeding their family.
Right.
You know, and try to be, I mean, at the same time, when someone's, what's the matter?
I don't know. I kept hearing something maybe.
Well.
Are you rubbing the chair or something?
I don't know.
Oh.
Maybe. Sorry.
Okay, so these people are making a living?
Yeah, they're just making a living, you know, and so I kind of let go of that feeling like I had to make excuses why I wasn't going to buy something from them.
Oh, right, yeah.
And just let them talk.
Yeah, maybe Lenny's listening, the guy that sold us the little.
And let them know, hey, I'm glad that, you know, you're here and I'm enjoying what you made and, you know, give me some time that I might, you know, at the end of the trip when I've, you know, exhausted all of the shopping, I might buy something. But right now I'm not ready to do that.
Well, yeah, we got to know a lot of them. And,
yeah.
And we did buy some stuff.
We did. We're talking about one person in particular, actually. His name was Lenny.
Yeah, he had
and
a...
He was very, very Belizean.
Yeah.
Very, very old.
Rode a bike up and down the beach, and we bought the little hummingbird.
He was very extroverted in his personality. He Jesus came up a lot.
Yeah.
And a lot of, you know, and feeding children.
Yeah.
Yeah, that came up a lot.
And the love of God. And I was like, Lenny, you're...
And the interesting thing was he had these little wooden carvings.
I know where you're coming from, man.
And he was trying to convince us that he'd carve them himself.
You don't think
he
did?
And his fingernails were like an inch long. No way. They weren't the hands of a carving... I don't know, unless he carved them with his toes.
I don't know.
Well, maybe he did. Maybe he carved them with his fingernails.
He could have.
That's possible.
I like it.
A little sharper than we thought they were.
Yeah.
He really was. He was a doll.
Yeah.
And we did finally. We bought the hummingbird from him.
Yeah, because no one else had a hummingbird.
Yeah. And we do love it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's on our mantle.
It's pretty great.
It's on our mantle.
Yes. Our wood carving collection. Kind of fun.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Lower the expectation, or, you know, got rid of it completely and just allow it to be. And you can,
We had a lot of opportunities, you know, to kind of experience, you know, a lot of times the fear that you feel or the expectation you have of the way people should be, you know, keeps you from getting to know who they are. And in many cases, you may have not spoken with someone because you were afraid and would have robbed yourself of the opportunity to realize that they're some pretty cool people, and they come in all kinds of packages.
Yeah.
Even the scary ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, they're just people too.
Yeah.
Oh, remember the guy that walked us home? Yeah, we went to a meeting, and we were all the way at the other end of the island. And
we're hanging out with some local people. And
dangerous at night to walk on the beach. We were told don't walk on the beach. And as it turned out, there was one guy left who was leaving when we were leaving, and
he walked all the way back with us.
Yeah, I did, and he was the guy sleeping on the beach the night before.
Yeah.
Remember that? He would have been the person I would have been definitely afraid of, and he ended up helping us find our way safely back to the
room. Yeah, we just open up to that, you know.
Yeah, exactly. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Each of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think once you get to accept and love yourself, you know, there's that when you first meet somebody, you have this expectation of how you want to be perceived, or maybe I'm just using the word expectation because that's the theme of the day. But, you know, so you put on kind of this front, and when you're less concerned about how you're perceived, then you just kind of shut up and listen and allow yourself to just I don't know, be open to getting to know, to get to know somebody. And I don't know, that's one of the big things that I've noticed as I've kind of gotten, my ego is my, of course I still have an ego, but it's a lot less
You have to
forceful as it used to be. And when I first meet somebody, but I still have a hard time remembering people's names, and that's still an ego thing, I think. And I don't know.
One of the things my father always told me is, when you forget their name, just tell them you forget it.
Yeah.
You can take a lot of the angst out of your fears by I hate saying this again, but owning it, you know, just letting people know, hey, I get really nervous about names for some reason.
Well, it's,
and
you know,
and that's okay. We all do it.
Well, I mean, I'm analytical and logical, and I think it's because when you first meet somebody, I'm so concerned with how I'm coming across and what I'm looking like and how I'm portraying myself that I'm not even really listening to what they're saying.
Right.
And, you know, I try to work on that. But some people said, somebody said, well, just imagine when you first hear their name, imagine it written on their forehead in a Sharpie.
Oh, I'd never heard that. That's a good.
So
I'll have to try that.
Or
too.
Someone else just said,
I have trouble with names.
Just say that your name is the same as theirs. So if they say, hey, I'm Bob, say, hey, me too. So the next time you meet him, they'll know your name and you'll automatically know theirs as well.
But they won't really know yours.
Yeah,
right?
I know.
Oh,
that.
Yeah. Well, that's, yeah. You probably won't turn around and say, hey, Bob.
Who are you talking to?
Yeah.
What about expectations with career?
I wasn't expecting that. Bob.
Do you have expectations career wise?
Nah, I'm good.
You're good.
No, yeah. I have a lot of stones unturned when it comes to that, but I'm very happy with where I'm at in my career. I love what I do.
Yeah.
I just wish I could do it maybe a little less.
A little less.
Yeah, but I still want to do it, and I have a list of people that aren't going to let me quit. So.
Yeah.
At least that's what they all say. You have to at least work one day so you can do my hair.
Yeah, I don't really have that problem, but no. I like what I do. You know, I get up and look forward to going to work every day, and I certainly wasn't always that way for me, but
right,
you know, but I don't attach. I used to attach my my value, my worth based on what I did, and you know, because the Midwest is like that, and well, I don't know, maybe the whole U.S. is like that, but at least a lot of the U.S. is that way as far as. I don't know, maybe that's not the brightest.
What do you mean?
Well, when you first meet somebody, it's, the first question is, what do you do?
Oh, yeah.
And
I try to make it something different, but you're right. I mean, it's just, it's habit. You know, I usually ask people, what do you like to do for fun?
Right. Like when we were
I'd
in Hawaii.
I'd much rather know that.
When we were in Hawaii, it seemed to be more like, that seemed to be less of a thing. It was more, you know, so what, you know, do you surf? Do you hike? Do you, you know?
Yeah. What's fun to you?
I'm doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, this is fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I look forward to this.
What, the podcast?
Yeah, yeah, I'm liking the, I like it.
You digging it?
I dig it.
One man. I'm trying to do my movie voice. I can't do that.
You have a good movie voice.
One man. Okay.
Next topic.
Oh.
Moving right along here.
Disappointment. Disappointment in others. Well,
I think a good way to segue into that would be, you know, when you have children, you have expectations of your children.
Yes.
And there are disappointments associated with those expectations. Mm. And I see that a lot with people that bring their kids in to get their hair done.
Yeah.
You know, they have an expectation of a hairstyle, and the child has a very different expectation of what they want for themselves. And really, I think that should be up to the individual within reason. If there's guidelines, you know, at school, you have to have it a certain length and color or whatever.
Right.
But, you know, being able to express yourself with your hair or, you know, your clothing or however you do that, that's, you know, I think as much as possible, it's a good thing to just let it go. Like, choose your battles, you know. But I don't know. I think you have expectations of behavior, and those are realistic expectations.
Okay.
I mean, those when you're raising children, you want them to be polite. You want them to have respect for others.
Well, no, that's a really good topic, and a good, because Yeah. I think having expectations
and
for myself.
You would have disappointment if they didn't follow your guidelines.
Having expectations for myself and others in relationships is one thing, but when you're talking about raising a kid,
yeah,
that's certainly a whole different
thing. That's why we have to make the shift, because, and what I brought up in the beginning, because when we're growing up, there are expectations of us. So we learn it from a very young age.
Right.
So when you fly the coop, then it's on you. You know, your parents have given you the, you know, tools. Now you got to use them. You know, and you can have expectations of yourself, but when you have I think that's okay.
Yeah, but
when you have expectations of others, that's when you get into trouble.
Yeah. Well, and you would have expectations of yourself based on the models that you've had in your life, which are going to be your parents. And right. So hopefully those expectations are healthy
right.
ones.
And you choose to hang around people that have similar expectations of themselves. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, you're going to avoid the people that behave in a way that isn't appropriate to you. Otherwise, you're going to be in conflict, I would think.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
That makes sense, I think.
Good. Kind of a deep subject, isn't it?
Well, it is, and I didn't really think about how different that would be with raising a kid, because you're going to have expectations,
right.
I would think.
Right.
But then that goes back to what we were talking about earlier about the potential thing and how I didn't like that, so I'm not sure how that plays in.
Well, personally, as a parent, you know, helped, like, for example, with grades. You know, I let my son know that I wanted him to do his best. If his best was earning a C, then that was great. I mean, if it would be, I would love A's, but you know what? If the best you can do is a C, as long as you're putting your effort into it.
And you know, can tell, right?
Yeah. Well, you really can.
I have not
actually.
Had kids,
I had opportunities because I ended up in several of the classes.
Spine.
With him. No, I was out.
Oh.
I was completely out with it and open, and I wanted to make sure that what he was telling me was the truth when he was complaining about teachers. And it was junior high, so a little more suspect time, you know, they're changing, growing, pulling away, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I think you need to learn to accept your children for what they have to offer rather than what you want them to be. I know that in my case, my son's father had huge expectations of him to be the athlete that he was. And when he didn't perform that way, he was very disappointed in him and made that very clear. And that was a problem. It was a big problem for my son's self-esteem, you know, because here he thinks I'm not okay because I'm not as good as dad.
Right.
So that's, you got to be careful, you know. Let them be who they are.
Well, I think you, yeah.
As long as it's not, you know.
My parents didn't really force me to do much. I was really good at running cross country, but I disliked it very much so. And I didn't like it. I mean, I remember standing there on the starting line with 100 other guys thinking I'm getting ready to run 2 miles or 2.5, whatever it was, as fast as I can, and I'm going to be puking when I get done, and this is going to suck.
Really?
Yeah, because like the last half mile or whatever, I'd always have the dry heaves, and I was pretty good, you know.
Wow.
I went to state like my junior year, and
is that normal for a runner to have that?
I don't know. I don't do that now.
I know. But, I was just going to say, but, ironically, he loves to run now.
But I remember my dad saying, well, if you don't like it, don't do it. And I thought that was pretty cool. I mean,
that is cool.
Because then I remember our coach even came to my house and sent me a letter and was, you know, saying it's not in so many words, you know, it's a waste of talent that you're not blah, blah, blah. And
mm-hmm.
My dad's like, well, he didn't like doing it, you know, so,
right.
You know, and that was kind of a contrast to a lot of the other people.
Bravo, dad.
You know, that had, you know, there's, you know, were forcing their kids
mm-hmm.
to.
Mm-hmm. You see it a lot. You see it a lot
when
children are in sports and the parents are screaming and yelling at the refs and misbehaving and it just can really ruin.
But it's tough though, because I do think that there's a time and a place, and I do think that helps, because I was pretty good in basketball too, and I started most of my like junior and senior year, but I would have been better. I was very timid, and mm-hmm. that was the why, you know, I didn't have that cockiness that really you need to excel, you know, and that's why I think I was good across country, because, you know, I didn't,
mm-hmm. it was kind of a sport,
yeah, kind of. You know, but, and there was other kids that were, you know, I think skill wise, I was probably just as good, but I just didn't have that confidence. And I don't think that was my parents' fault so much, but, you know, I don't know why that was, but I mean, I'm certainly not, it didn't ruin my life. I mean, it's just, but I can see where there would be a balance, you know, to push and, you know, at least try to get your child to excel. And
it is an interesting topic,
but they gotta like it.
It's so hard to know.
Yeah. But I think they have to like it, because if they don't and you make them do it, I think.
Yeah.
But then, you know, what about the daughter that wants to take piano lessons and bags, and then she does, and then she quits after a week. And,
yeah.
You know, you got
to. Well, I think then you have to make them part of the response, you know, that we're going to finish what we've paid for anyway.
Yeah.
Finish what you start. You don't have to be a concert
pianist.
You
don't want them to be a quitter for all their life.
No. I think you got to see it through, you know, but. I kind of felt like, and it got to that point with sports with my son, you know, he says, Mom, I suck at it. And I said, well, why do you want to continue to do something you suck at? He said it. Yeah. I just repeated it.
Yeah.
And he says, well, you're right. I don't. And so he did quit.
Yeah. Well, and now he does.
And now he's a fighter.
Yeah, he does.
Now he's
jiu-jitsu.
Martial arts.
He's great at
aficionado.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
It's amazing. But it's something that he chose. No one was riding him and yelling at him for not doing it right.
Right.
You know, he chose it on his own, and he's actually very good at it.
He's amazing.
Yeah.
He's an amazing young man.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, his daughter, who is 2,
Juju,
just got her yellow belt.
She did. Yeah.
I had to plug her. I'm so proud of her.
That's cute.
Pretty exciting. Little 2 years old. She's got her first, she's made it to the next level.
A little jiu-jitsu outfit or whatever is all rolled up, you know, because it's so big. And
yeah.
They play the music and she just takes off running, you know.
Yeah. It's pretty neat because I know that she really likes it.
Yeah.
It's a bonding experience with her dad. You know, it'll be interesting to see how he handles it as she gets older and maybe wants to quit or she's not paying attention.
Yeah, that's a good point. We'll
see. It'll be interesting to watch that.
What his expectations of her, she's going to,
Yeah. Mm-hmm. See how much he's learned.
So it's different than, as I think when you have children, and which was kind of cool because we were kind of wanting to talk about that a little bit too as well. But
we were going to talk about the emptiness and expectations
and
of
really
the relationship.
I don't really have any experience in that. You do, obviously. But,
you do in that. You moved out, and your parents had an empty nest when you did.
Yeah.
You know it from the other side. So you could, you know.
Well, I think, and expectations can also go, you know, I think most of the stuff we've talked about alludes to trying, expecting something to be a certain way. And I think, in the context of what we've talked about, in a good sense.
Mm-hmm.
But it can also go the other way because, you know, if you have an expectation of something to be extremely horrible, you know, maybe you're in trouble with the law or you got some things that are coming up, some court dates or whatever is going on. And you have this, I know certainly for me, what I spin in my head is almost, it's always been a lot worse than what the reality is. And, you know, and I need to concentrate on what I'm doing right now and stop expecting things to be a certain way. And, you know, it's that whole letting stuff take you to where you're supposed to be and not just where you've ended up.
It's kind of like
a good
example of not having an expectation. Okay, for example, you know, I tend to have a bit of a heavy foot when I drive. And
really?
I know that I'm speeding, okay? I know I'm breaking the law. And the old me would have been very upset and was very upset when I got stopped by the police for a ticket, which I had many of. And now I really make an effort to go the speed limit. You know, I follow that. And if I do get stopped when I'm speeding, I'm going to be the first to say, I did this. Of course I'm going to get a ticket. You know, I'm not going to be mad at the police officer for giving me the ticket. He's doing his job.
Exactly.
You know, I don't have an expectation that I should be able to get away with speeding while everyone else should go the speed limit. You know, I can do whatever I want.
People like me who have Yeah. Never gotten one
ticket. Not a one. Yeah.
But, well, it's like my thought has always been,
want it and it's going to piss you off to get it, don't speed.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
Well, it's the
really
law.
Really, it is.
And I feel like if I get a ticket, then I'm going to be twice as late to wherever I'm going.
Ask yourself, is the reason I'm speeding really worth being upset when I get the ticket?
Well, I used to be all hurry, hurry, hurry.
Mm-hmm.
And it was because I was usually somewhere doing something that I shouldn't be, mm-hmm. or I was not, you know, I was always doing selfish things. So it's kind of like, you know, going, you know, you send somebody to the store to get some milk.
Okay.
And I would go just to the Quick Trip, or, you know, I would go to the easiest thing possible and just get whatever, and I put no thought into it. Or that's a bad example, but you had mentioned something about a plant that someone had gotten for you at one point in time. And, and I don't know where this is going, but it was like, I was always hurrying. Well, I see all these people in a hurry, and it just, I don't know what their problem is.
It's the same problem that, you know,
that I had. I mean, are they all,
I don't know.
Why can't they just get up earlier?
Well,
because when I go to work in the morning, I seriously, every day I get to work, I'm thank God that I got there alive.
Yeah. But the great thing is, if you go early, there aren't as many people.
But there's still people flying. You know, and I'm going 70.
See, and now
the speed limit is 65.
That's not right. If you're in the early zone, really, people go the speed limit.
Going in, and I'm thinking, what is wrong with these people? Do they not realize they're driving something that can kill?
Yeah.
You know?
We have become,
I can understand,
quite insulated in our little metal propelling,
I can understand,
vehicles.
There's like, I can understand how you could get so full of anxiety that you could not even drive.
Yeah.
Because I know that there's people like that.
Right.
And
Well, they spend a whole lot of time with expectations. Yeah. Well, they expect the worst to happen.
It freaks me
out. It's possible. You know, there's always a possibility something can happen. I just don't, I don't know. I don't think that way.
So I drive, I leave early.
Yeah.
You know?
So you really wouldn't want everyone to leave early, right? Because,
no.
Yeah, so it's good the way it is.
But then I also get to leave.
Yeah.
Whoops. I get to leave work a little bit early, too, usually, if I'm not busy. But.
Yeah. Yeah.
So just managing expectation doesn't mean that you have to lower your standards or your goals.
No, I don't think so.
I think
standards, if it's causing you anxiety, then you probably ought to look at it. Yeah. But if it's not, if it's getting you where you want to go and you're having positive results, then I think.
Well, and like having other people meeting your standards to me is kind of like, when I hear that, I think of it's kind of a moral, kind of a value that I have that I'm willing to either not settle for, but when I think of standards for other people, there's a little bit of self-righteousness that comes in there for me, you know, and like the term tolerance, you know, it's like, well, I need to have tolerance, but so that means that I'm so much better than you, you know, you're lucky that I'm tolerating you, you know, so I don't know, it's all semantics, but.
Well, you're not doing it as much for them as you are for yourself, right?
Like setting standard or a...
I'm tolerant because I don't have an expectation of someone being better than they are or whatever.
Right.
You know, I am tolerant because I've lowered my expectations or I've removed the expectation and I'm going to let it be whatever it is.
Well, and no matter how we dice it, slice it, buzz it, whatever, it all comes back to being happy with who you are.
Yeah.
And knowing
and
that.
And being okay with right now.
Right. And knowing that
whatever
it's enough.
It is.
Whatever right now is. And, you know, one of the big things was when we were first dating and it got, there was some expectations of how the relationship was going to go. And and there was some sense of urgency a few times about whether it was heading in the right direction. And you had kind of confronted me about it. And I had said, and you were great about this, and I had said, well, I wasn't really sure where I was at the time or if I was willing to say one way or the other, you know. And I remember saying, well, is there something that we can do about this right now, right this evening? And, you know, like, do I need to go or,
yeah.
you know, can we, because I'm not really sure if I'm in a place, I'm not just going to say something because I'd done that in the past
mm-hmm.
and I got into situations that I right. didn't want to be in. And so
well, I didn't want it to be an ultimatum, but I did let you know what I was hoping for.
Right.
You know, and if you weren't wanting the same thing that I wanted, then, you know, I wanted you to go find out what it was.
Right.
And as long as you're, you know, trying to do it here, you would have been keeping me from finding what it is that I wanted. If you didn't want what I wanted, then you needed to go and figure out what you wanted.
Right.
And let me, you know, but by you kind of being in limbo and, you know, I let you know that wasn't what I wanted.
But the huge part about that was that wasn't then the overall theme of our relationship after that conversation.
No.
It was out there. We discussed it. And right. it was like, can we do something about it right now, right this minute? No, nothing's going to change. I love being with you. Okay. And then we were happy. And we went on.
Yeah. And that's when you decided to go and seek counsel.
Yeah. And I went and got a therapist and,
you know,
worked through
taking
some stuff
steps, you know, letting someone know what, I guess, your expectation is or what you're wanting, telling someone what you want and allowing them to figure out if they can give it to you.
Yeah.
You know, but let them know that the way things are going, that it's, you know, we need to make some kind of change.
Well, it worked for you because I would have never imagined to be in a relationship where the woman would have let me do that, would have said, here's what I expect.
Here's what I want.
Here's what I want. Here's what I expect. You know it. I like being with you. What's for dinner? Or not what's for dinner, but you let me know where you're coming from. But then that wasn't like the every day. It wasn't like, what's you're going to be? What's it going to be? You know,
yeah.
Because that would have just drove me nuts.
Right.
And I know that's, but the reason why you were able to do that is because you,
I was okay with me.
Okay with you. Exactly.
Whatever the outcome was,
you're right.
It was going to be the right one.
Right.
Because what was right for you is right for me.
Yeah.
Because it would, if you had decided you didn't want to spend your life with me, then you would have been allowed me to be free to go and find someone that did.
Right.
And that's what I was looking for. Not just you in my life, no matter what, no one else is good enough. How would I know that? I don't know who else is out there.
Right.
All I know is there's a big line of guys outside. And
yeah.
I'm like, well, there's I got a line of guys outside waiting, so.
Did you?
Well, you never know.
Well, I guess not, but.
I think we all have a line of people out in our lives.
Well, a lot of people don't think that they do, and I certainly didn't think that I did for a long time.
Yeah.
But I think once I went through that whole ordeal.
Well, who's going to like if you don't like you, right?
We're right. But when I went through that whole ordeal, I realized that
if you don't have a line,
I loved myself and I deserved better.
Yeah.
And I deserve
what I want.
You know, it's like I deserve to be with someone that realizes how great I am like my mother does.
Yeah.
And maybe that's a weird way to put it. But,
no, but that's true.
You know,
absolutely.
I'd always been with people that were trying to make me something different.
I always date up.
Yeah.
So my dad always
I dated up.
Oh.
I married
and
up.
And I did too.
Yeah.
Isn't that nice?
That is nice.
Yeah, it is.
So I want everybody to know as well, too, that my book is getting closer. My sister is doing the design on the cover, so we're waiting on her to finish up. And I've got a couple people that are going to provide some blurbs, I'm hoping, for the book cover. And that book is Happiness for the Practical Mind, 7 Steps to Discovering and Loving Your Authentic Self.
Mm.
And I've gotten some great feedback on it.
Awesome title.
I will warn you, though, it's not your typical self-help book. It's
well, according,
it requires some work.
According to my nephew, Parker, you say crap a lot. In the book.
That's not the book I'm talking about. He's talking about...
Oh, the other book?
He's talking...
Oh, that's right. He's read the other book.
The little...
My bad.
Book you can get on Amazon.
My bad.
Nonsense. This is
I thought
full,
that was so funny.
Yeah.
He's like, what, 12 going on 13? And he's like, it was a great book, but he says crap a lot.
Really? I'll have to go back and look at that.
Well, is that a bad word? And he goes,
if you're listening,
it could be a bad word. And I said, I don't think it's a bad word.
If you're listening to this, you've probably downloaded my free book you can get on my site.
So you can judge for yourself if he says crap.
If it does, then call our call our line.
Yeah, we want to know what you think.
775.
Is crap an okay word?
775-234.
What is your expectation of the word crap?
8373.
All right, here's that number again.
775-234-8373. And that phone line, actually, you can call that and you can leave a topic or a question.
Comment.
Leave your name, where you're from, and a question or comment on what you'd like us to talk about. And we may use your recording, yes, on the show. So that would be kind of fun. So
it would be fun.
Hopefully my book's going to be out in a couple of months. You know, I'm not trying to write. I've been working on it for so many years.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of work. So I'm just, just plugging away. And I have faith and it's going to be what it's going to be. And so I'm excited about that. So anyway, that's it. This has been the How to Be Happy podcast with Jared and Emily Akers.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for joining us. And
have a great week.
Mahalo.